Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Chris Kobach, and this is the Chris Kobach Show.
Welcome back. Excuse me. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. The number is 576-7710. Okay, we're in hour two now. If you are just joining us, we've been talking the whole first hour about the Trump inaugural address. I thought it was excellent. Most of the callers, indeed all of the callers so far, agreed that it was excellent. The only person other than the left-wing cranks that I've heard say anything otherwise has been George Will in his editorial in the Washington Post Saturday, and George Will was rewarded with being booted by Fox News Network as a commentator, I guess the same day, yesterday. So interesting developments there. But now I want to go to the reaction of that great American commentator, really wise woman who knows everything about politics. I'm referring, of course, to the musician Madonna. So Madonna, I'll let you hear this little part of her speech. So she was speaking from the stage to address this, I don't know what they called it, the giant march for women. But of course, not all women were welcome. A pro-life women's group wanted to march, and they were kicked out. So what this really was a giant march of left-wing women. Basically, it was a bunch of left-wing groups calling themselves groups marching for women's issues. but they really weren't marching for women's issues. They were marching for left-wing ideological issues because they wouldn't accept anyone who had a pro-life message or wasn't fully in line doctrinally with the hardcore left in America. Anyway, so they chose, of course, the great speaker and philosopher queen, Madonna, to speak, and here's just a little snippet of what Madonna had to say from the stage.
Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
So a couple of points. If a Republican said publicly, I've thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House, how long do you think it would take for every Democrat member of Congress to call for that Republican's arrest and call for whatever, public flogging of the person and whoever he works for to be fired, to fire him? Blowing up the White House, really? You've thought an awful lot about that? And you heard the pauses there? Yes, I have thought an awful lot about... If you saw the video, you could see it was because Madonna was looking down to read her lines. I mean, it looked like someone whose brain wasn't fully engaged. I mean, how many times in the middle of one sentence do you have to look down at the paper to see what the next word is? It was painful watching her make this speech, even if aside from the painful content of the speech, just the fact that she couldn't even seem to remember what the next word was in her sentence that she had planned. So this is the other part of Madonna's speech. She also decided that this would be a fine opportunity with hundreds of thousands of people in front of her to drop the F-bomb. And that's what she does here.
F you.
So this was, I think she was saying that in reaction to people, anyone who doesn't think we matter or whatever, here's my response or something like that. Anyway, she drops the F-bomb three times. The crowd just apparently really appreciated that totally gratuitous profanity from Obama. Oh boy, hooray, hooray, she can say the F-word. I mean, what a vapid, idiotic display of... I don't know what it was. Mush? I mean, just anger. She's, okay, we get it, Madonna. You're angry. You've thought about blowing up the White House. and you've thought about how difficult it's going to be to read this sentence about how you've thought about blowing out the White House. So you have to write it out and look down at your paper three or four times to get to the period. I mean, really? You know, if I were a left-wing nut job activist trying to organize that march, I probably wouldn't have put Madonna up there. You know, let's have somebody who can, you know, put a few sentences together and doesn't have to rely on the F-bomb to make her point, and I'm not quite sure what the point was. Anyway, so there you have it. Madonna's scintillating rhetoric and her appeal to American women for what exactly, I am not sure. But let's go back to the phones. We have a few other people who have some opinions on the great thinker, the great philosopher queen, Madonna. First up on this topic, Tom from Shawnee. Hey, Tom, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
The great thinker, the great philosopher queen, Madonna. First up on this
Hey, Tom, you got to turn off your radio, too, in the background.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I just have a couple of points on this. That was such a disturbing display from the other side. And I watched Fox, and they had several people that went out into the crowds and interviewing, and they couldn't even say what they were there for.
Yeah. Yeah, the people marching? Yeah, they had no idea.
Yeah, just amazing. But the other point I want to make is that, you know, a lot of these people are communists, and they want to have a communist government here, which is totally opposed to our Constitution. So, and they always talk about free speech. But free speech is on their side, not ours. We're not allowed to speak the truth.
Of course not. And I guess free speech, if you're Madonna, means dropping the F-bomb a bunch of times and talking about blowing up the White House.
Yeah,
you know, really, really heady intellectual content.
Yes. Oh, they're so smart.
Yeah, and that's the other funny part is especially in colleges, the lefty professors like to think they're so much smarter than conservatives out there in the unwashed masses. Conservatives like me, and I remember as a professor thinking this notion that these lefties think they're so intellectual is just bunk. You debate them and they've got nothing.
Yeah,
there's
that's
nothing.
That's why
there.
They get angry and they protest.
Yeah, and they call you names. Yeah,
because they can't substantiate themselves in a real debate.
On issue after issue, I find that to be true. You know, there's the odd issue where they might have a point and they have something they can say. But on so many of them, they fall back on ad hominem attacks and they call you a racist if you disagree. You know, if you are, you know, there's the old joke, what's a racist? It's a conservative who's winning an argument.
Yes.
So
the other question I have for you is, how do we come against this? You know, I'm sure our founding fathers, when they created our beautiful Constitution and created free speech and all of the other rights that we have, did not intend for that to be used against us so somebody can take over.
Use free speech in a way? You mean you're talking about the communist threat, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, they did. I'll say this. The Supreme Court has consistently, going all the way back, held that political speech is entitled to the highest protection, even speech that would be deemed subversive. And there were a whole bunch of cases actually about communism right about the time in the late 19-teens, early 1920s. And there were efforts to...
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, there were efforts to stop people who are communists from disseminating leaflets and such. And the Supreme Court basically came to the conclusion after a number of decisions that went... Either way, they came to the conclusion that, look, this is free, it's protected, and the only speech that is not protected is speech that is likely to result in imminent violence. So if you're inciting a mob to riot, that is not protected. But if you want to go on and spout some drivel about Marx, go ahead. That is protected speech. So political speech, you know, has always been at the core of the First Amendment. So it's interesting, but I don't think speech about Marxism or communism will ever advance it because it just doesn't make any sense. So anyway, hey, Tom, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. We got to take a break right now, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Yes. angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
And yes, I am pausing an unusual amount of time as I read the words written on this piece of paper. And yes, I am the philosopher queen, Madonna. She was so ridiculous. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and but no, I don't hear any of the lefties outraged at how she's talking publicly about blowing up the White House. All right, let's go back to the phones. What do you think about all this, and what do you think about Trump's speech? Talking about it here on the Chris Kobach Show. Next up is Scott in Kansas City. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Yeah, hi. There's only so much I could say about Madonna. It fits in with George Will, and I'm going to add some other people. And I just want to mention this for just a moment. I have other important things I want to mention. And it goes along with your old friend Steve Rose. When people get very famous or they get into a group, they can change. Madonna, like Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, like George Will. George Will was from Illinois or Indiana somewhere, and then he got into this Ivy League collegiate crowd that really thought that they were the tip edge of intellectual evolution. Yeah. They change. Madonna changed. Marilyn Monroe, when she went from being Joe DiMaggio's wife to being what was his name? Arthur Miller, the playwright in New York, who was later chased for being a commie. He got in with his Park Avenue cocktail lounge circle of lefty intellects. She changed. People change, and Madonna's changed. She's into this. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it, but I could mention the crowd she's been around, and she's not really human anymore. She's just in some nether bizarro world twilight zone that doesn't exist except in her mind and what people tell her. I'm sorry, it's that way. Steve Rose is amongst that crowd.
you think Steve Rose's fame has gone to his head and changed? Well, I don't think Steve Rose ever changed. So I think he's always being a liberal.
It's the people he's around, that especially that Casey Star crowd and that cocktail circuit in the in Lawrence and Kansas City, that group. He's amongst them. It's not that he's off in the East Coast or the Left Coast. He's here, and it can be local too.
Well, you know, the great thing is that we, the regular people, the normal people of the United States, can now, we have the freedom on talk radio and on the internet to point out what a knucklehead Obama is. Sorry, what Madonna is. Madonna, Obama, whatever. What a knucklehead she is, and what a knucklehead Steve Rose is. And thank goodness, you know, if this had happened 30 years ago or 20 years ago, Madonna had said these things, and, you know, they were replayed, although they probably wouldn't have been replayed, and there was less tolerance for that kind of, you know, filthy talk. I mean, people, you wouldn't have as many outlets to point out how silly she is. And now I think we can look at the Steve Roses of the world who are just, you know, fairly, well, they're left wing, but they're not very good at making their point. And people like Madonna, who's left wing and also not very good at making her point. And we can point that out. And thank goodness we have talk radio to do that.
Yeah, and the internet. And I want to point out something else that is right along this line. I just happened to watch Fox News this morning, and I really don't have much time. I haven't even heard Trump's speech. I don't have much time. They waved at Brent's Priebus. Look, Obama had more people at his inauguration than Trump. Okay, I would say, okay, and that's telling. That's telling. What they were trying to allude to is why he's disingenuous. He did not have as many people support. No. Why don't you look at the nature of this and see it for what it really is? Maybe not as many people showed up because the people who supported him, the people who voted him in, do not live in bus riding distance of the East Coast
Bingo.
Or of the Rust Belt.
That's
and
a great point.
Busy, they're working.
That's exactly right. No, that they are not within. Basically, you've got suburban Virginia and Maryland, very liberal places. You've got New York right around the corner. You've got some very, very liberal places of people who can drive in, as opposed to shelling out some money for a plane ticket and a lot of money for a hotel. The hotel rooms in downtown D.C. were going for $1,000 a night, $800 a night, and they make you buy four nights. And so, I couldn't afford that. I'm staying with friends. And the bottom line is you're exactly right. If you have a bunch of people in driving distance, it's easier. And one other point, it was drizzling all morning. The weather was really bad. So when you think about Trump bringing out over 30 million people, bringing out on TV 30 million people and bringing out so many hundreds of thousands, doubtless over a million on the mall, that's pretty good. When you consider the weather in terms of the people there on the mall, that's really good.
In 2009, I believe when Obama was sworn in, it was really cold, but it wasn't snowing or sleeting
right.
or anything like
well,
that.
And you know, I'll take cold any day over rain because you're wearing, yeah. Most of the people, actually about half the people were wearing, they're kind of dressed up. I was wearing a suit and, about the other half were wearing jeans and sweatshirts. But nobody likes to stand out in the rain. You can stand out in the cold. It's not that hard. Standing out in the rain is a little more difficult if it's for hours and hours. And many people were there for hours getting into – it was tough. You had to go through so many security checkpoints to get there.
Yeah, and little Christy Wallace this morning was waving at Renz Priebus. Well, look, Obama's is bigger than Trump's. Something's not right here. La-da-da. Well, and Renz didn't come back with the defense I did, but, people – I'll put it this way. I work a whole bunch of jobs. Well, I work three. And one of them is driving and semi. And when I leave the metro area here during the campaign and go out into the hinterland, I see Trump signs everywhere. Here,
yeah.
I don't.
Sure, that's exactly right.
And that's because out in the outland where people work for a living, they don't sit around waiting for their check. They put up signs, and also they didn't have to worry about them being torn down by a bunch of lunatics here in the city, where they go to college and where they collect their check.
Yep. Very good point. Well, I think your defense is a good one. Well, go ahead. Did you want to say something else?
Well, I just want to say one other thing, and that is when you consider all the people who came the next day to protest. Who are protesting all over the place. It's a kind of a thing between adults and children. It's about imagery too. I know a Jewish woman about my age. I've known her since I was small, who on her Facebook page puts up a picture of Obama. Well, and I'm not going to bring this point up, but Obama bowed to the Saudi king. The Saudi king, who was a tyrant, who runs a kingdom that women are beaten.
Yeah, I don't think President Trump is going to be bowing to any foreign kings.
And they don't see that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
And threatens Israel, and Obama bows to this person, where he'll just give a polite handshake to the queen because he believes that she is a tyrant of a plantation. Called
yeah.
the Commonwealth.
Well, it's interesting how the left has reacted to this and this constant protests. Frankly, I kind of hope they continue down this line. As annoying as it is, because they're griping and whining about how President Trump is somehow not legitimate, which of course is facially a false claim. But meantime, they're not organizing for the 2018 election. They're going to sit there and whine about how this election was unfair. Good. I hope they keep on completely missing what they need to do, and that is make their case to the American people.
Yeah, I heard so many people complaining about the Electoral College and it's not right, and we must do away with it. and a very good response. I won't give all the details. Or
the Electoral College is a beautiful thing that the Founding Fathers put in place to preserve the states as deciding entities and in some ways to protect the smaller states. Hey, I appreciate the call, Scott. The music means we got to get out of this segment. We've got a hard break. Folks, we'll take your calls when we return on the Chris Kobach Show, 576-7710. Be right back. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710 with the number is 576-7710. You can dial that with a 913 area code or an 816 area code. We're talking about the president's inaugural address, the inauguration activities of this weekend. I'm coming to you live from the Washington, D.C. area. I was honored to be able to be part of the whole thing and attend the inauguration and see the address way up close. Hey, we're going to talk now. We're going to keep talking about Madonna and her ridiculous speech and reaction. But here's an interesting twist. Did you know that she's got an album coming out in the next 3 months? Okay, I'm not going to say that again, but because I don't want to promote it. But it could be. It could be that the words that were written for her were not her own, that she was reading so difficultly and painstakingly from the card that she was reading from. And it could be that her agent put those words there and suggested that she drop the F-bomb just because it would rake in some more money for Madonna. There's a theory for you. I don't know. Might be true, might not. Now, that requires some thought to put that plan together, but I'm guessing it was not her thought, but maybe her agent's thought. I don't know. What do you think? All right, let's go back to the calls. Next up is Ed in Gladstone. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. I thought Madonna was one of those celebrities that was going to leave if Trump got elected.
Oh, you're right. We should buy. We should put our money together on a fund me project on the internet and buy her a ticket.
Because there's a laundry list of people that threatened to leave, and I guess
who would take her? I guess would the Canadians take her? Probably.
Well, I don't know. See, this is one of the things. Obama was really good at getting people to take nefarious characters.
Yeah.
So maybe he could be sort of a travel advisor in his post presidency. He could advise them on where to go. And the interesting thing, do you happen to, and you would be the guy to know, is there a residency requirement for Supreme Court justices?
You mean residing in some state or anything, or residing in the United States for some period of time?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg alluded to the fact that she was going to move to New Zealand if Trump was elected. And that was in the New York Times on July the 10th, 2016.
She would presumably have to give up her seat because that would be an awfully long commute every week to come in for Monday arguments and back on the weekend. So I suppose technically she could live there on weekends, but man, she'd be... Well, she falls asleep when the arguments are going on. I've seen her fall asleep on the bench. So just imagine if she had jet lag commuting to New Zealand. I think she probably thought better of the idea.
Okay. And thirdly here, I want to sort of debunk this myth that the Ivy League produces liberals. Didn't you go to an Ivy League? Didn't you go to two of them?
I did. Don't tell too many people. Just between you and me. Yeah, I went to Harvard and Yale. So, it's... Yeah, in the bushes.
Both, Dinesh D'Souza and Lauren Ingram went to a maybe quite somewhat disreputable Ivy League institution.
I'll tell you this. So I think it's the same as going to a local university around here and being exposed to left wing garbage from a professor. If you go in, and for those of you who have kids who are high school age or whatever, if the kid goes in and he or she's got his thoughts together and has a sense of the political world around him, I really think that the left wing garbage coming from the academics won't influence that person. It's the stuff, and it may actually make the person more conservative, like I became, even though there was all kinds of left-wing garbage being spoken by professors at Harvard. If you if you already have a sense of the world, then you see how fallacious and ridiculous the arguments are made by the left. But if you go in with no sense of what's right and what's wrong and what's correct in the world and what's not, then the professors will mold the mush in your head and make you a lefty too. That's my theory.
Okay. Then thirdly, I think we need to, or at least the conservatives need to make a point of, if Roe v. Wade is overturned,
yeah,
abortion will not be illegal. It will be returned to the states as it was before.
Exactly.
Because I've heard it at least three or four times just today that abortions, you know, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortions will become illegal. They'll become these, you know, dangerous back alley. Women will die. It's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. Even if Roe v. Wade were completely overturned, meaning the Supreme Court said that decision is wrong, you know, end of decision, it would go back to the states. But probably if it were overturned, it would be overturned with all kinds of caveats and all kinds of, you know, wait, not in this situation. But you're right, it goes back to the states. So chances are the blue states would still have something close to abortion on demand.
Well, right, but you know, I mean, it just bothers me, and it may be because most of the people that are saying that weren't born at the time that Roe v. Wade was decided.
Or maybe they don't understand how our system of government works.
Well, maybe not. And then fourthly, the last thing, do you think the millennials did not turn out very robustly in this election, at least for Clinton?
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, they were motivated for Obama, but they weren't motivated for Clinton.
And I'm struck by, and I know you probably don't watch Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I do, from time to time, when there's nothing better on.
On the 22nd of October, Tom Hanks appeared in a skit that was called Black Jeopardy.
He did. I saw that, yeah.
And what it did, I think, was it humanized Trump.
It did, yeah. He played the Trump supporter. I remember that. Yeah, yeah. Actually,
and I just
unintentionally.
I just ran across that like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm thinking, did that make, not necessarily that it caused people to vote for Trump, but the sort of the lackadaisical millennial said, well, you know, they're not so bad, because that's where they get their political input. That's where they get their news, from SNL or The Daily Show or...
You know, that's an interesting thought, Ed. You're right. The character he portrayed as this, you know, guy from the, I guess he had a Southern accent, you know, a guy from the hinterlands who liked Trump, was actually a sympathetic character. And you're right. But yeah, maybe if that's how where they get their news and they base it on characters, yeah, maybe Tom Hanks inadvertently gave Trump a little boost. Probably not a very big one, but a little one.
All right. So my last question, and I know you're not going to answer it. Are you gonna have a role in the Trump administration?
I'm not gonna answer it. No comment.
Okay. Come on.
maybe you and I'll talk offline sometime. All right, Ed. Thank you. All right, let's go next to Jeff in Prairie Village. Hey, Jeff, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I just want to give you a little bit of a different perspective on things.
Okay.
When you and Sarah were talking about how you can't understand how Obama has a 60% approval rating, it makes sense to me. He's a likable guy, and most people don't view his presidency the way you do. They don't see it as a failed presidency. The people that view it that way is a minority. And what I think is going to be so fascinating to watch over the next few months and years, and let me step back and just give you a little overview.
Okay, well, let me respond first to what you just said. I agree with you that he's a likable guy. I think he comes across as fairly charismatic if he doesn't get on to one of his long, droning kind of talking down at you speeches. I agree with that. And I think that the reason he beat John McCain, and I've said this in my theory of elections, which I said on the Chris Kobach show many times, is because he was a more likable guy than John McCain, and he's a more likable guy to the average person watching TV than Mitt Romney was. Where I disagree with you is that most people agree with his policies. No, that's the interesting thing. They like him as a person, but they really dislike Obamacare. Obamacare's numbers are in the toilet. So they don't agree with his policies, but I will agree with you that he is to many Americans, he is a likable guy. And I think that's one of the reasons why Trump beat Hillary. He's more of a likable guy, and he's certainly more charismatic than Hillary is. Even people who don't like Trump, what he says at all, do find him somewhat charismatic and interesting to listen to. Okay, go ahead. What's your next point?
Well, I was going to say, and just to clarify, I said they don't view him as a failed president. And so I you know, you talk about they don't like his policies. So here's my point. I actually think our government works the way it's supposed to. And I think the problem for people like you, Chris, is your view of we the people isn't correct.
What do you mean by correct?
Well, in other words, when you say and you see Republicans and you say, well, they're getting wishy-washy, they're not supporting these views, the reason they don't support them is because we the people don't support them. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. And I'll just say, if Trump proposes something and it gets shot down, don't say, oh, those wishy-washy Republicans. Just remember that there's a big segment of we the people that support Democrats, that support more moderate Republicans, and have a different view.
Okay, well, I got you. No, here's where I disagree, though. I'm not saying wishy-washy because I think that every American or the vast majority or, you know, 70% of Americans agree with the most conservative position on every issue. What I'm saying is these politicians, these same politicians who get wishy-washy, let's take immigration as an issue, get wishy-washy on immigration, when they went back to their constituents and talked to them about how they were going to vote in Congress, they spoke a fairly conservative message. Even many Democrats will take a pretty conservative message in the general election home, but when they're talking at home. But then when they go to Washington, they are themselves, and they are wishy-washy. And some Republicans are the same way. They you know, you listen to John McCain when he's talking on the stump in Arizona on immigration, and I'm just using him as an example because that's one issue where he's been conservative when he talks at home, but then when he gets in office in Washington, he's pro-amnesty. So I think that's true. Generally, you'll see people of both parties, the moderate Republicans and the Democrats, speaking more conservatively to their constituents than they do when they are talking in Washington, D.C. to the general public.
Hey, just real quick, what's your expectation as to the number of people that will be deported over the next 4 years?
I'm not going to give you a number, but I'll tell you this. It's going to be a lot higher than this past year under Obama on an annual basis. Obama actually set an all-time low record for recent decades with this last year. And previous to this last year, Obama's numbers were being cooked. They were counting as deportations when they arrest somebody at the border and then they transfer them 200 miles down the border and send them back into Mexico. That was counted as a deportation when, in fact, it's not a deportation. That had never been counted in that way in years past. So anyway, I think the numbers are going to go up. I don't know exactly where, but I think they'll go up. But hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. We got to take a break, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes here on the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, reporting to you from Washington, D.C., the greater Washington, D.C. area, I should say. Big, big weekend for America. Big, big weekend for President Trump. Man, it sounds good to say that. President Trump in office, already hard at work, working through the weekend, and you just wait. But buckle your seatbelt. It is going to be a big week. And we're going to see some executive orders signed. We are going to we're going to see the left undoubtedly continue to complain. And who knows? How long will they go on? I mean, obviously they had their big deal yesterday, the big march for women's issues, but only for liberal women's issues. And many of them got arrested. 230 protesters were arrested yesterday. Oh, no, sorry, arrested on Inauguration Day. And by the way, did you notice that they smashed a Starbucks? Well, they smashed a window outside of a Starbucks, and they smashed a window outside of, I think it was a U.S. bank. A Bank of America. And both of those companies are ones that donated heavily to Hillary Clinton. So much for hitting their target. And of course, the protesters are, you know, wearing, the ones who are doing that, wearing masks, not wanting to their identity to be known, just wanting to, in a sort of cowardly way where they hope they don't get caught, make their statement anonymously. Anyway, 576-7710 is the number. Next up, who's next online, Cody? Curly? John. John is online next. John, what do you think?
Mr. Kobach, pleasure to talk to you on the phone, sir.
Likewise. What do you think?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm a police officer, 20-year veteran of law enforcement, and I was extremely pleased with the fact that the U.S. attorney announced that they're going to be charging the rioters with federal statute violations for inciting a riot, which they should have been doing since Occupy Wall Street was created back in 2011. I think I can tell you from the rank-and-file officers that I've worked with over the years, we were disgusted with the fact that the Justice Department, the Obama Justice Department, just turned a blind eye to this criminal acts, which obviously emboldened the behavior that occurred in Washington. And I know you kind of have sort of an inside track to maybe what we're looking at in the Trump Justice Department, but I was curious just to ask you the question, is this a sign of good things to come in regards to creating more, creating more civility and law and order this country?
I think it is, and it was the U.S. Attorney's Office that, you know, that brought the federal charges, and I think they're going to charge more than 200 people, as many as 217 people I've heard, will be charged with these rioting offenses, and they should be. I mean, look, there is nothing wrong with demonstrating peacefully and having a sign and saying whatever you want to say, and you can even shout it in a rude manner. But look, when you start throwing bricks and breaking private property, you are committing a crime. And I agree with you completely that when either the Justice Department or whatever relevant law enforcement entity doesn't bring charges, that sends a signal. It sends a signal, hey, go ahead. You're going to get away with it. They might arrest you, but they won't charge you with anything.
Yeah, and like I said, for us, you know, when we go out every day, we enforce the laws of our municipalities, our counties, or what have you. I mean, it's disheartening. It was disheartening for us, and I think I can speak for a lot of us out here, to see that happen, because it was like, well, what the heck, you know? I mean, and law-abiding citizens have a right to live in a country where you have law and order, where you maintain control of this type of behavior. And it was such a refreshing thing to see. I had no idea it would happen this quickly, to be honest with you. I thought it might take a while, but I was happy to see this happen. And I'm sure, just from my own vantage point, I'm sure what they'll be doing is they'll be charging these little fish and start working their way up to the people who are actually organizing and financing these riots, and then also charge them for conspiracy, RICO statutes, things like that. So I was just happy to see that. So
yeah, and I think you're going to see that at U.S. attorneys' offices around the country. You're going to have Attorney General Sessions in charge, and of course the Attorney General of the United States sets the prosecution priorities for all of the U.S. attorneys' offices, and Sessions has made clear that we are going to enforce our laws. We are going to create an environment where law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line every day are respected and protected. And that begins with things like what we saw, you know, charging people who are engaged in rioting with the crime that involves rioting. It's yeah, really pretty simple. And way too many people, I think, on the left get, they get a little bit confused, it seems, when they confuse, well, I don't want to say way too many, but some people on the left get confused. They confuse rioting with free speech. There is no free speech involved in rioting. You can shout all you want, but you cannot break someone's private property or violate their property rights, and that's a big difference.
Well, the American media has made that possible. They have basically made that behavior a free speech issue, because they never call them rioters, they never call them domestic terrorists. They always call them, you know, they say the protesters broke this or the protesters
exactly
did that.
That's right. They give them the label. That's a very good point. They give them the label of protester, which has First Amendment connotations. Yeah, great point. I really appreciate it, John. Hey, John, I want to get one more caller in before the show ends. Susan in Lawrence is on. Susan, what do you think?
Well, along the line of the protesters, I think that so much of their protestations are coming from the fact that they are scared to death that Donald Trump and the Republicans might actually do what they say they want to do, like fix up the inner cities and get the inner city kids better education, the things that they talk about and say that they want to do, almost like they're afraid we're going to just co-op, you know? I mean, if we actually do that, there's going to be a lot more minorities that are going to vote for Republicans.
You know, that's a really good point. If we see real progress in doing things that are good for the inner cities, which Trump, I believe, will do, and we see real progress on school choice, by the way, and that is a huge issue. If
yeah.
you poll people living in these areas where the schools are absolutely abysmal, you see huge support for free for school choice because they know that the rich people out in the suburbs get to go to whatever school they
yeah.
want, but they're forced to go to the failing school in their crime-ridden neighborhood. So, yeah,
I think they're really afraid that we actually might do those things.
And I sure hope we do. And that's where it's going to take some pressure on members of Congress from you and from me, and hopefully get our members of Congress to get behind Trump when he pushes these tough issues. And school
yes.
choice is going to be a really big one.
Yes.
And that's why I think Betsy DeVos is such a great nominee for Secretary of Education, given her position on that issue. But yeah, very good point, Susan. We might take a little wind out of their sails. I don't
yeah.
think that'll stop them from protesting, though. They'll find something else to protest
oh, no,
about.
I think they should go for it. Just make them look like fools.
Yeah. Well, they certainly look like that. And leading the March of Fools was, of course, Madonna on Saturday. Well, hey, thanks, Susan. Appreciate the call.
Well,
thank you, everyone.
Chris.
All right. Well, hey, we're signing out for tonight. This is the Chris Kobach Show coming to you this week from the Washington, D.C. area. We'll see you next week on KCMO Talk Radio 710.